Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Yesterday, we were telling you all about the issues in Milton and the hokey pokey of the the city manager, and Scott Collins is in, and then he was out, and then he was in, and now he's out again, as you heard David Wayne reporting top of the hour there. And I told you yesterday that I had some theories and that I was looking for some information, a couple of public records requests. Well, I've got all of the records requests in, 84 of them. I mean, it's actually like three, but it's still... It's kind of a lot, and I still don't know everything because there's still too much sort of missing from the record. I'm not saying they didn't fulfill the records request. I'm just saying that you can read all of the information we have from all of the email chains, and there's still a lot of open questions. Basically, why? But here's kind of the short version of what we know at this time. So you remember they voted unanimously at Milton City Council meeting last Tuesday to hire Scott Collins to enter negotiations. And then Jeff Snow, who is sort of politically adversarial-ish to Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow, they're the two on the 6-2 votes a lot, okay? They kind of have aligned themselves with the Pitchfork Posse folks, basically. And one of the big concerns for the Pitchfork Posse, probably the big concern, is trying to thwart the Milton wastewater treatment plant location off of Cooper's Basin, which it won't discharge into the river, but that's the thing they keep screaming about, okay? So everything is... through that lens. There's also a bit of Highway 90 stuff. Anyway, but everybody was on board with Scott Collins. Okay, everybody was on board. And so Mike Cusack was going to be the liaison to kind of be involved in the negotiations with Alex Andrade. Alex, as the city, attorney, is the guy who's going to basically run the negotiations, and Mike Cusack was kind of there. And that was all fine. And so then, you know, basically Alex was trying to arrange a time to talk with Mr. Collins about a couple of details. And he kind of got those detail answers figured out. And then, I don't know, somewhere in the middle of all of this, it all went completely sideways. And the why did that happen part is still, to me, somewhat unclear. Mike Cusack, I think, thought that his role in this was bigger than it was really supposed to be. He thought that he was supposed to be like the guy doing the negotiations, and really he was just sort of be involved. And Alex did that. There actually were no negotiations, and he was upset that he hadn't been included on them for reasons that, again, still kind of escape me a bit. But Alex repeatedly in the emails tells Mike Cusack, who kept making inquiries, he wasn't going to make any offer, no contract to Collins without Cusack's review of it first. The only real, like, live question in the negotiations was going to be how much salary. Posted at 120 to 140, so upward bounds of 140. And Mike Cusack had kind of recommended 135 with a $5,000 payment for the trouble of moving. So he basically recommended the high end of the scale or close to it. And Alex kind of comes back and says, maybe we offer a little bit less and we let them negotiate. You know, let's try to save a little bit of money. Alex finally had a call with Scott on Thursday, 23 minutes long. Everything was fine. Just a lot of detail oriented things, like, is he need to have a car to get from City Hall to his home? That kind of level of stuff, really silly stuff. And basically they kind of came back and forth on this issue of how much money he doesn't need a moving stipend. So Alex says, okay, let's give him, offer him 130 with just 5,000 for expenses for moving if need be. Okay. And the next thing we find out is that Cusack has told the clerk, Don Molinaro, to send an email to the entire council that he hasn't been included on any of the discussions or any of the communications or any of the calls, and he's upset because Alex isn't doing his job. And I was like, what are you even talking about? This is bizarre. So let me read you a little bit, because it's just, like I said, it's one of these things where you think this is an easy thing to do, and Milton somehow finds a way to, you know, muck it up. So basically, here's the letter from Don Molinaro. I have been directed by Councilman Cusack to let you know to all of the city council members, by the way, not to Alex, that at this point he has not been included on any of the phone calls or any other communication between city attorney and Mr. Scott Collins. And Alex writes back to Councilman Cusack, because Cusack had written him a couple of little emails, and he says, look, to be abundantly clear, I was not instructed by council to take direction from a single member of council regarding a contract to the city. I was directed to collaborate with you. Those were the verbatim words of Mayor's motion. Our email correspondence both today and yesterday makes abundantly clear that I have done that and I intend to continue to do that. I don't work for you. I work for the council at the council's direction. I was disappointed to see my integrity publicly impugned today. That's the Alex is not cooperating part. I did not exclude you from any negotiations, and to accuse me of that and to pressure a member of city staff, that's Don Molinaro, to share that information to the city council was inappropriate. I will be sending a proposal to Mr. Collins tomorrow, and I will copy you on the email. If you have no further questions or concerns, I'll prepare a proposal and send it to him in the morning. You'll be copied on the email, as you have been this entire time. Sincerely, Alex Andrade. So Alex is, like, doing his job, and Mike Cusack keeps thinking that he's being somehow screwed out of this deal, you know, that he's not being properly coordinated with. Meanwhile, Marilyn Farrow, the other of the two, you know, the other drama queen on city council. I'm just tired of sugarcoating all this stuff. These people are just causing problems. And I mean, it's not that they're never right. It's just that it's so often this is the problem. So she sends, you know, an email also to Alex. I just received an email from our city clerk that was forwarded to the council at Councilman Cusack's request that he has not been included in the phone call or any other discussion with Mr. Collins. This is absolutely contrary to council direction per our council meeting on July 11th, and I insist that you start the contract discussion over again to include Councilman Cusack and include him, please, in all future contract discussions, Councilman Marilyn Farrow. And Alex writes back, I have not engaged in any negotiations with Mr. Collins. My actions to date have been gathering information regarding Mr. Collins' prior employment, the history of the city of Milton's employment of its prior and current managers, and asking Mr. Collins what material terms he would like and an offer of employment to include. I have kept City Councilman Cusack fully informed and have shared multiple initial drafts with Councilman Cusack for his review. I did not receive the email you referenced and cannot speak to any claims that were made, but I can assure you that he has not been excluded from any negotiations. No negotiations have occurred. Because they hadn't. As far as the councilman's direction and designation of Councilman Cusack as a representative of the council during the contract and offer process, I've followed it. Councilman Cusack is currently reviewing an updated proposal that I have shared with him this morning. He has not been excluded from any negotiations. Just like, oh man. It's just weird. So that's like the council side. Now, I don't know whether they're calling Scott Collins directly. I don't know if members of the public are calling Scott Collins directly. But I'll tell you, a gap in all of this is why there's still no explanation of why he bowed out. I'll get to that in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
God, this is riveting, dude. This is brought to you by ECUA. It's traffic on the fives or sevens. Bulkway service is now a call for pickup. So when your garbage day happens, you call by 2 p.m. the day before your normal service day. Learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Not showing any accidents or slowdowns. Talking about Milton, Avalon clear through Garson Point Bridge. Traffic on I-10 east and westbound. Traveling at posted speeds and no slowdowns reported in Gulf Breeze Parkway, east or westbound. If you have traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
So Alex has had one conversation with Scott Collins, 23 minutes long. They discussed very minor elements of the terms. He was getting ready to prefer a proposal, and he had been communicating back and forth with Mike Cusack this whole time. Suddenly Saturday morning, 4 days ago, 5 days ago, whatever, Scott Collins sends an email to Heather Lindsay, Mike Cusack, and Buzz Eddy. Not Alex Andrade, notably. This email is not easy to write. Unfortunately, it's to serve as my formal notice to you of my withdrawal from consideration for the position of city manager for the city of Milton. I've reviewed the initial employment contract that Mr. Andrade submitted to me yesterday. Notwithstanding the proposed compensation, which was, again, going to be $130 plus five for moving expenses, up to five. The remaining conditions presented in the contract, as well as some employment considerations about which the contract is silent, do give me some cause for concern. I understand that statement comes with no counteroffer from me. However, I'm confident in those concerns and in my belief that a suitable agreement will not be reached. I am also aware there's a coordinated undercurrent effort not involving any of you to make either this contract negotiation or my initial contract term unsuccessful. As such, I have decided to withdraw. The what? Is there? From whom? Saying what? Obviously, it's not Alex doing that, so but Alex is the one not included on this email. What's going on? The three of you and everyone in the community who has welcomed me to Milton over the last 2 weeks has been exceptional. There's clear and obvious love for you and within the Milton city of Milton. The desire to improve on an already great city is genuinely and certainly a comforting selling point for anyone interested in becoming Milton City's next manager. I am absolutely thankful beyond words to the three of you, the members of the staff and public who've reached out to me, and the five council members who've been supportive both publicly and privately. I'm hopeful. Privately is interesting. I'm hopeful for the success of Milton's next city manager, and I'm truly appreciative of the opportunity I've had to meet some really great people. Respectfully, Scott Collins. Then there's the special meeting that was scheduled Monday to figure out, according to the term of the meeting, why Alex screwed this up, which there was no evidence of that. Then you get this email from Alex to Randy Jorgensen, the city manager. I was just contacted by a reporter from the PNJ regarding a special called meeting to occur tomorrow night. The subject of the meeting is titled Whether City Attorney Communications Caused Withdrawal of Application of Scott Collins. I, Alex Andrade, was not informed of this meeting, and it was a surprise to be informed by a reporter that it had been scheduled.
No.
Yes. Attached to the timeline of all my communications with Mr. Collins, also attached are the proposal that was sent to him Friday morning. I am sharing the contact I used as a template for your reference as well. I suppose I will be seeing you all tomorrow evening. And then the meeting is suddenly canceled after that. My God. And then, also to council, attached to your review is my email correspondence with Councilwoman Farrow on Thursday. I was concerned about direct council involvement communication with Mr. Collins after all these emails and just the city direct staff to negotiate. It's so crazy. And then, again, you know, so it's back on. Randy's talking with them again. Scott's back in. And then Scott Collins sends another email. This is just yesterday afternoon, well, just 11:25. Rather than have a few or actual several conversations, I'm sending this email to confirm that I won't be contracting to serve as City of Milton city manager. The decision is not specific to the City of Milton, as I have decided to bring my city management career to an end. So we convinced him not to ever be a city manager again. We talked him out of his career. Oh, this, he says, this experience has also been a little confusing, but it made me have some meaningful conversations with my family, friends, and myself. For me, it's time to step away permanently, and that's what I've decided to do. Oh, my God. I'd like to say I don't know who's running the city, but I guess that's the best you can say at this moment. So 437-1620, whatever happened, it all went totally sideways in ways that just at this point I can't fully explain. Who do I blame? Well, I'm waiting. I have a little bit more information I'm trying to collect. 622 on News Radio 92.3. But see, we talk about Milton and how dysfunctional the city is, and it's really not. Like, the administration works fine, the people in the administration work fine, the workers, employees, all of that is, it's just like you've got this small group of people that are totally out of control, and then you've got a couple of city council members who seem to want to, you know, mess everything up all the time, and other than that it works great, but those few problems are really crazy, frustrating, entertaining, and in this case, I'm guessing, I don't have the evidence yet, but I'm guessing related to all of this fiasco. 623 on News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay.
The summer selection of Volkswagens is filling up the lot at Pete Moore Imports. Looking for a sedan with incredible style and fuel economy? The 23 Jetta S, now from $22,499. Need more space but want to keep it sporty? The crossover Taos S from $24,999. Next up is the Tiguan S with more room and third row seating from $27,999. And the Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology has high-tech features all at your fingertips, now from $39,999. But the biggest of them all, the 23 Atlas SE with technology will comfortably seat seven adults and is now from $41,995. And the VW ID4 EV is waiting for you to experience electric vehicle technology like never before. So choose from a selection of VWs for every kind of driver this summer at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports is on New Warrington Road, just up the street from NAS Pensacola, the home of the Blue Angels.
Prices before tag, tax title, and associated dealer fees. See dealer for details.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Friday night, head downtown for another Gallery Night Pensacola. Enjoy this fun community events, live music, food, and friends. This month's theme is Sustainable Summer. See GalleryNightPensacola.org. Saturday evening at the new Bayview Community Center in East Hill, it's Bands on the Bayou. Ben Lofton and the family takes the stage at 6:30. More at BandsOnTheBayou.com. Submit your event at NewsRadio923.com.
The best local resource that happens to be entertaining. News Radio Pensacola is on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Well, just tell her to come get me.
Why?
Because I don't feel good.
Well, did you talk to the school nurse?
No, she doesn't know anything.
My lips hurt real bad, okay?
Yeah, I'm not going to use that chapstick. That's disgusting. We just watched Napoleon Dynamite again yesterday. Let me tell you, I've seen it twice.
We watched it a couple of months ago, yeah.
I genuinely don't think it's a good movie. I actually kind of can't stand the movie. But the quotes are great. Like, all of the quotes are so hilarious. That's what... I don't know why. The movie fails to me, but the quotes are hilarious. So, what can you do?
It is funny. We always have Dan Quesadillas in the...
Oh, yeah, Dan Quesadillas.
Yeah, because I want a Dan Quesadilla. Why don't you make yourself a dank quesadilla, Napoleon? Taking a look at traffic on the fives. We're not showing any slowdowns or delays. 98 is clear from Navarre into Gulf Breeze onto the General Chappie James Bridge, the 3-mile bridge, and into Pensacola. Not showing any delays. If you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Very good, Candy. Thanks so much for that. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
If I could go back in time, I'd just take state.
Ah, nice. Way to go, Uncle Rico.
Unusual weather being reported all over the country, from New Hampshire to Hawaii to the North. Canadian wildfire smoke still causing hazy conditions. The southern U.S., of course, roasting with extreme heat. In Hawaii, Tropical Storm Calvin bringing heavy rain and flash flooding. Lawmakers in Illinois have now done away with cash bail. The Illinois Supreme Court upheld the constitutionality of a state law that would end cash bail within 60 days. Critics say it'll leave residents in Illinois less safe, as suspects will be back on the streets after being arrested. Supporters, though, say that cash bail has disproportionately negative impacts on minority populations. And there's a press conference today to shed more light on the brief disappearance of that woman from Hoover, Alabama. Carly Russell went missing last week after making a 911 call saying she'd seen a toddler on the side of the road. Police found her car, no trace of her, but she returned to her parents' home days later unharmed. So find out more about what happened.
Very good. Thanks so much, David. Can I say this one thing? I watched the whole movie again yesterday, and I was very surprised to find out that my all-time favorite line from the movie isn't even in the movie. It's in the deleted scenes.
Did you say something about my mom?
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't.
Do you want to die, Napoleon?
Yeah, right. Who's the only one here who knows the illegal ninja moves from the government?
I didn't realize there was deleted scenes for Napoleon Dynamite. That's funny. From the government.
All right. 628 here on News Radio 92.3. Oh, my goodness. What else do we have going on? There's so much stuff. It's just, it's overwhelming every day, all the stuff that we have to cover. I thought this was just kind of a, hey, know this kind of thing.
We wanted to let you know that there is the Pensacola Fire Department has a training drill at the airport, which is a live fire training drill. We're going to do the best we can to be out in front of the phone calls that they see an airplane on fire. This is planned. It's starting tomorrow through Friday, and it'll take place most of the day. And again, Chief Craner has more detail, but ultimately, I mean, it's going to be live fire in something that looks like a fuselage and all of that.
So, if you're driving past the airport today, tomorrow, or Friday, and you see, I don't know, a plane on fire, it's okay. This is planned. I'm actually, weirdly, I find this kind of surprising only because I know NAS Pensacola has their aircraft fire training area that they used for fighting, teaching people how to fight shipboard fires, right? Which is a real problem. And I'm not sure what the exercise components are at Pensacola International Airport. It just seems to me like you have a built-in local place where maybe you could do this training. I'm not sure why we're doing it there. But still, if you see it, you don't have to call. This is one of those, if you see something, say nothing. You know, because you don't have to. And by live fire, they mean fire, not, you know, ammunition going off. So just a FYI on the terminology there. David Wayne will have your local news up next after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. IRS whistleblowers, one so far not publicly identified, testified at the Capitol today about the criminal case against President Biden's son.
Gary Shapley, the IRS agent who claims the Department of Justice interfered with the U.S. Attorney's investigation into Hunter Biden, will answer questions before the House Oversight Committee. Chairman James Comer says another witness will speak at the hearing, claiming their legitimacy will help the public learn more.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz. 16 Republicans who signed fake certificates as electors for President Trump after the 2020 election faced criminal charges in Michigan.
Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, a Democrat, declared
they weren't the duly elected and qualified electors, and each of the defendants knew it.
She added in a statement that Michigan and national party operatives were part of the scheme.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. President Biden won Michigan in 2020, flipping it from a Trump state in 2016. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, News Radio 92.3. It's 81 right now, partly cloudy in Pensacola. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Well, the city of Mobile is now officially the second largest city in Alabama. Four communities were considering annexation into the city. Three of those voted yes. That officially makes the city of Mobile's population 208,830, passing Birmingham now by 8,000 residents. And Mobile city officials say the communities that joined will now have access to nationally accredited police, fire, and EMS protection, as well as other city services. The neighborhoods voting to join included Orchard Estates, Kings Branch, and the Cottage Hill Corridor, the airport corridor there, though, voted against being annexed. A local attorney stepping up to represent the homeless that have set up camp along Beggs Lane, which is one of Escambia County's largest homeless camps.
This is a very serious issue out here. People are not getting the services they should be getting. A lot of medical needs here, a lot of people with disabilities. It's pretty shocking.
That's Sherry Myers. She says she recently sent a letter to the county saying that the homeless population on that property has squatter's rights and they can't be evicted without due process. She tells Channel 3 she's hoping to see an effort to find a proper location for the people that live there, as well as using federal dollars to bring medical and social services to the camp. A structural assessment at Pensacola City Hall shows the building is in need of quite a few costly repairs. Two of the big issues are water intrusion and long-term penetration of ionized salt, air, and moisture.
There's nothing in terms of, foundational structural integrity, but it doesn't mean that these things aren't, these are not just aesthetics. I mean, these are structural things that need to be done.
The building also has some mold issues. The city's ARPA funds, that includes federal money from the 2020 pandemic, sits at just over $1 million now. The structural assessment and refurbishment, which are already planned, would cost more than $1.3 million. Mayor Reeves says they're looking at the possibility of using $800,000 of that money that was planned for the refurbishment to make the repairs. Well, the company behind the massive residential and commercial development plan in Molino now won't be appearing at next month's Escambia County Commission meeting. News Radio's Joe Ford has more information.
Last week, representatives from Exit 3 Investments withdrew their rezoning request after the Escambia County Planning Board denied their sector plan opt-outs. Following the meeting, the opt-out requests were added to the Escambia County Commissioner's agenda for their August 3rd meeting. Yesterday, however, the company withdrew those requests as well. The original plan called for over 2,000 single-family lots and 2,300 townhomes and apartments near Highway 29 and Highway 196. It remains to be seen whether Exit 3 will come back with a scaled-back version or if they're dropping it altogether. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Well, it's now up to a federal judge to decide if a law targeting certain foreign land buyers can stand. The judge heard arguments yesterday from the state of Florida and those challenging SB 264. The law says Chinese citizens who are not U.S. citizens or permanent residents are limited in how much land in the state they can buy. Plaintiffs say the law discriminates and violates federal law, the state arguing it's necessary to stop the Chinese Communist Party and its agents here in Florida. There's no word on when the judge plans to issue a ruling in that case. 635 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right, not showing any slowdowns or delays. It looks like everything's running just fine. Taking a look at 90, it's just like scenic into the curve on Cervantes, not showing any problems as it turns into Mobile Highway. If you have traffic tips, though, text them in 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Heat advisory once again in effect for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties from 11 a.m. through 7 p.m. It excludes Okaloosa County, but trust me, everybody in Northwest Florida and Southwest Alabama expecting dangerous heat today. We'll have highs in the low to mid 90s, heat index values or feels like temperatures near 110, and that's a reality we see for Thursday and Friday as rain chances stay very low. That's your weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Joseph Neubauer here at WEAR News.
It's 81 in Pensacola, 82 in Gulf Breeze, 79 in Milton. Your next news at 7, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Eli Lilly says a second drug that modestly slows the progression of Alzheimer's disease could be approved by the end of the year. The manufacturer says donanemab significantly slowed cognitive and functional decline in people with early symptomatic Alzheimer's disease, with nearly half of the participants at an earlier stage of disease on the drug with no clinical progression after 1 year. Lilly says submission to the FDA for traditional approval was completed last quarter, and submissions to other global regulators are currently ongoing. The Securities and Exchange Commission is investigating whether private equity firm One Equity Partners' communications with investors about its past and future performance violated rules. The Wall Street Journal says One Equity, which was once JP Morgan Chase's buyout arm, has recently been in settlement talks with the SEC. Regulators have sought a fine of as much as $5 million. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a higher open this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Pure opportunity. It's what Michigan is all about. The opportunity to do more. The opportunity to connect with the best talent. The opportunity for people of all backgrounds to grow and expand their business. The opportunity to live and work in a state where paychecks go farther. The opportunity is now, and it's right here in Michigan. Visit MichiganBusiness.org/radio to discover all the ways the Michigan Economic Development Corporation is helping Michigan thrive.
Did you know China starts teaching financial literacy in preschool? American kids are getting left behind, but we can help at home thanks to The Sensibles, a team of animated superheroes who help kids develop smart money habits in a fun way. Each month, they get a kit in the mail with a DVD, a comic book, access to an interactive website, fun activities, and lots more. Visit bcs-kids.com today and enter promo code CENT for 20% off. Digital subscriptions also available. The Sensibles. It's the sensible thing to do.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
I was lying on the grass of Sunday morning of last week, indulging in my self-defeat. My mind was thugged, all laced and bugged, all twisted wrong beat.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
If we give farmers incentives, like if you do bulk farming, take away the land taxes, incentivize farming. If y'all haven't noticed, our government is trying to take our food away. Every time you turn around, there's a processing plant burning down. And I can tell you, as old as I am, I've never heard of such in my life. So they are trying to get us to where we're eating bugs and no real meat. So if you incentivize farming, then you're going to have that agriculture land, and these families are not going to want to sell their land off because they've got it tax-free.
Okay, let's do a little wheat from chaff activity here. Let's separate the good from the bad in this comment by Sherry Chapman at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, because there are parts of that that I very much agree with her. I don't think the government's burning down the meatpacking plants or trying to make us eat bugs, so let's leave that aside. But the issue of land, okay, and what kind of land it is, and preserving agricultural farmland, I'm very interested in that. Of course, you know we did a whole series last year, and we still talk to him once a month with Ryan Jenkins from Jenkins Farms up in Jay. And this issue of encroachment upon the farmland and, you know, rezoning of farmland into residential and also into commercial and sprawl and all of that, it's a massive problem in both counties. It's more of a problem in Escambia County. We just, you know, have talked a lot more about it in Santa Rosa County particularly. So she says, look, if you got to incentivize the farmer somehow or other. You got to maybe a reduction in the tax on the land. You know, that seems like that might be helpful. And we've also had this conversation about like Jubilee, which is taking this zoned agricultural land, one house per acre, turning it into a massive development, you know, 2,700 structures, basically. So, you know, they're kind of creating a little Gulf breeze in North Pace. And the fight about whether all of that is appropriate because they're using this thing called the alternate subdivision plan, which means that they can cluster homes on certain parts of the property and by trading off with preserving other parts as green space or as wetlands or whatever. And there's a lot of backstory to all of this. But I want to talk just for the minute about this issue of protecting the agricultural land, because this is something that in some sense, everybody agrees with that. But it's not true, because developers, you know, and developers are people who build like my house, you know, sometimes use developers like it's a dirty word. Well, without developers, you wouldn't have businesses and homes and all of that kind of stuff. And so it's important to keep in mind that, you know, they're just responding to the market forces of there being people that want to have houses. Now, Ray Eddington, who is the District 4 commissioner, doesn't talk an awful lot from Santa Rosa, that's the Navarre area. He offered an expression of sentiment without really a plan, which is something that he does a fair bit when he does talk. But, you know, he said, we just have to protect the farmland. Of course, the question is how.
I won't say the farmland, and it is in District 3, not my district. But I don't want them to lose their land at all. We need to help the farmers somehow. And it's going to take this board to do that, to help these people on the north end. If we don't help them, it's going to be all just like Navarre and Guthrie's, just taking over. Do we want that? I don't. I don't think y'all do either. I hope not. Though we need farmland up there. Yep. We got to take care of the farmers.
Absolutely.
So it's something that most of us at least say we agree with. The question is, how do you do it? Because obviously, if you have agricultural land and somebody wants to buy it and try to rezone it, and you can make money by selling it and they can make money by rezoning and developing it, the people who lose ultimately are the people who, you know, need to eat. But it's hard to make our case at a distance from the guy who actually owns the land and has to either rent it to the farmer, if that's the case, or who is the farmer himself. So you just have this problem of more people wanting to move here. You know, 50 or 60,000 people coming here over the next several years are going to need a place to live. And what do you do? Well, you have two alternatives. You can increase density, which means that you have more people living in a certain area than you had before. Or you can turn land that is currently zoned for agriculture and turn it into residential. Now, you can build homes on agriculture, right? You can one house per acre. The question is whether that's a good way to use the land. And I'm starting to kind of side with the people that say that's actually a bad way to use land, certainly for residences. We'll get to that in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
I'm taking a look around 98 in Fairfield, heading east. This is in West Pensacola, so Highway 98 east. There's a blown tire in the middle of the road, so that might be causing some issues. If you have traffic tips, text them in at 437-1620. This is brought to you by Irish Spring. Fill your shower with the fresh, clean scent of Irish Spring and those sensational Irish Spring suds. Irish Spring, when the spring hits you, you're ready. Pick up Irish Spring today. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to this conversation about land management. And, you know, Jubilee, this big development, the folks at Jubilee are starting to push back. I mean, Charles Lachey, he's one of the partners for Jubilee with Ron Reeser. And, you know, they're really fighting back against the Fowlers, who have been criticizing them for everything that they've been doing. He says, look, Jubilee is going to be is pine land. It's not general farmland. You can't use it for farming. That's a mistaken notion. He says that the Fowlers tried to buy the land from but wanted it too cheap and it wasn't a fair deal. They tried to work on it and all of that, and then it was thereafter that they started attacking them. So they're pushing back. And also Ron Reeser, he's one of the main developers. He's talking about why, for example, the agricultural not the rezoning but the alternate subdivision plan is actually a good thing, because it allows for density changes so that you can put people in clusters and not have to take up as much land with them. You can save time for the board to have to deal with that. You get private roads and green space. And this is the big one. You avoid those one house per acre lots that are really chewing up land and not allowing it to be agriculture. Because if you got a house on an acre, that's a lot of grass and not a lot of farming.
And why is that? It's because 1 acre lots are unsustainable. Studies all over the country show that 200 feet of frontage, a 1 acre lot is 210 by 210 if it's a square lot. And so that's unsustainable, because the county has to maintain 210 feet of road for one house. And so the alternative subdivision provision allows you to group lots that are 50, 60, 70 feet wide, which is what the market wants, and it keeps us as developers from having to develop and builders from having to build on 1 acre lots. 1 acre lots push growth up the road.
Because each home takes up a lot more footprint of land when you do it that way. If you instead have 3 or 4 to an acre, then you're sort of clustering, you know, let's say 4 homes on an acre. That leaves the other 3 acres could be used for something else, like, for example, farming. So, and also the inefficiency of it, providing services, you know, running plumbing there, running electricity, running internet, this problem that we're running into now with broadband in the north end of both counties, roads. All of that stuff is expensive when you have a lot of space between the houses. Now, you might want to live with a lot of space between the houses, but in terms of a land management problem, that's not a good way to manage your land.
People have been saying, let's develop our property as 1 acre, not our property or any property, because studies show that 1 acre density is not sustainable, and it's actually eats up farms. So if you're for SaveOurFarms.org or Save Our Farms, then you're not for 1 acre lots, because 1 acre lots is the antithesis of a of saving the farm, saving farms.
It's the most inefficient way to turn land into residences. And because it's inefficient, again, a lot of lawn, but not space left for farming. If we could instead figure out how to cluster density in this place and allow that land to remain farmland, that would be kind of the goal of development. And as the county commissioners, when they were talking about this, you know, Sam Parker says, look, the basic problem is that y'all come in here and get all upset when we have a rezoning and we want to upzone a parcel to have more density. And then you get upset at us when people want to move out to the country and rezone agricultural land into, you know, you can't have it both ways. The people have to go somewhere.
Well, we've got builders in the audience right now that have come to this board within the last 6 months and asked for stuff to be rezoned. Hey, can we build four houses an acre? And we've had people in this audience that have got up here and said they opposed it. And so we said no. So we can't tell them, well, if you can't build here, you got to move out. And I promise you, almost every builder I know, because you don't do it for fun, you do want to make money, they would rather build closer to town because it costs a lot more to haul dirt and haul lumber and your employees to drive further out. But
so nobody wants the density in their own backyard because they want the space that they're accustomed to. And nobody wants to get rid of all the agricultural land because they like the farm and the idea of preserving it and the, you know, the culture and the economy and all of that. Well, you can't have it both ways unless you put a border up around the county.
So there's two things that cause urban sprawl in Santa Rosa County, in my humble opinion. One, the Board of County Commissioners, and two, a NIMBY attitude from some residents, okay? And it's for exactly what he just said. It, when you say, I don't want more houses where I am, I don't want more density, and then we don't vote for it, it definitely pushes it up.
And that's it, and that's Colton Wright there talking. And this is, I've kind of come around on this a little bit to the sense that it's really got to be one or the other. If you're going to have more people, you're either going to have sprawl or increased density. And to the degree that you disallow density, you're generating sprawl. It's that simple. So 1-acre lots are actually a bad land management practice. That now makes sense to me. I still have problems with the alternate subdivision plan that it allows an in-practice rezoning without an actual rezoning hearing. But the principle of it, that we're going to protect this land by clustering these people over here, that really does make sense to me for all kinds of ways. Now, what do you do about that? Well, this is the challenge, is first getting people to understand. I think there's also a case to be made for something like this. And I'll be talking with the county administrators about this and the commissioners to the degree that they want to talk about it. But you know how we protect like NAS Whiting and we protect NAS Pensacola by having land around those areas and the flight paths and stuff? We keep that from being developed in order to preserve and to decrease the conflict between residential and those. And there's all kinds of things we do to manage the land around the bases. It starts to seem to me like we ought to do a better and more aggressive job of managing the land around agricultural land, around farmland. Because it's not when it's right next to it. It's not when it's like a little space away, but it's when it gets up right next to it. That's when you start to create a lot of these conflicts. And it's almost like we ought to be thinking about farmland, not per se, but the buffer around farmland is where the fight really is. And I don't know what shape that takes. It's just a preliminary idea that I have, and maybe other people have had it too. But that's where I'm thinking is, if we're really going to do this, and I agree with Sherry Chapman, I don't get to say that much, but what she said in the beginning about maybe incentivizing people to keep it, maybe reducing or eliminating taxes on farmland, that kind of stuff, that's where the conversation ought to be. 6:53 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get ready to get down with legendary disco and dance group, KC and the Sunshine Band, Sunday, August 27th at the Pensacola Singer Theater, celebrating 50 years of making booty shake.
Shake your booty, shake your booty, go on, yeah.
Reserve seat tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. KC and the Sunshine Band, August 27th, Pensacola Singer Theater.
The cost of health care is all in the news. Tune in this morning at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as ProHealth will be the guest and discussing how ProHealth medical membership programs can help you take out the stress and cost of health care. That's this morning at 10 as ProHealth will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, it's Jesse Kelly. When a restaurant closes, my reaction is, that sucks. They had good steak. When regional banks close, or three of them close overnight, it freaks me out. This is why I have my own personal gold reserve. It's part of my personal protection plan. Call my friends at Oxford Gold Group. Call 833-404-GOLD. 833-404-GOLD. That's 833-404-G-O-L-D.
We're committed to providing you with the latest and most accurate information during hurricane season. So tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the latest updates and stay safe.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
Ella le gusta la gasolina.
I'm not working in a gas station.
I can't drive 55.
National average for gallon of gas, 356, Florida, 342, Mississippi, 301, California's 489, and Navarre, 311 east and west at the Walmart, 308 at the foot of the Garcon Point Bridge, 329 in proper, 312 at the CEFCO in Milton, same at the Pea Ridge Murphy, 315 if you wait until the Tom Thumb going through Pace. Into Pensacola, 311 on 9 Mile at the Walmart, same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29, and then 298 at the Pure Station on Jackson. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore Volkswagen with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays. We do see that there is a, it looks like a loose tire at 98 in Fairfield as you're heading east in West Pensacola, blown tire rather, in the middle of the road. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. A couple of quick texts I want to get in here at 437-1620. First, somebody says, why are all these polarizing busybodies named Sherry? That's funny. Somebody else says, the problem is that the people that are growing up now don't want to do what their parents did with the farming. And that's also an issue, but you can kind of understand it given how challenging farming has become. Somebody else says, it's a go home, no vacancy problem. We don't have room here for these people. Somebody else says, increase in impervious surface area, that's roads and driveways and houses, without a regional stormwater plan is one of the big problems. Why are we trying to add people to Pace or Milton? We need infrastructure. All true. Somebody says, I believe the city of Niceville began allowing developments to go from one lot housing, one house per lot, to two or three. And it looked weird at first, but then, you know, you get used to it. You go vertical. And somebody else says, it had to be about 10 years ago. I heard the average age of a farmer was 60. We got friends who are at an age where they're considering just selling and giving up farming, but we need the farmers. Yeah, and that's, again, all the incentives work to just sell off the land, right? David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A U.S. soldier is being detained in North Korea after willfully crossing the border from South Korea.
This individual clearly had a plan to run across the line, broke away from the group, ran across the line. And once they do that, there's no one on the U.S. side that is authorized to cross that line to retrieve him.
That's Victor Cha. He served on the National Security Council under the George W. Bush administration. Since word of Travis King's crossing came to light Tuesday, it's been revealed that he was released from a South Korean jail last week after serving 2 months in jail on assault charges. Today, another day, Andrew, to raise a glass.
If you mix rum, lime juice, and sugar, you have yourself a daiquiri. Invented in 1898 by an American mining engineer in the Cuban town of Daiquiri, his name was Jennings Cox, and it said he invented the drink only because he ran out of gin. Happy National Daiquiri Day. I'm Bree Tennis, NBC News Radio.
Happy National Daiquiri Day.
Necessity is the mother of good drinks. That's right. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, if you're thinking about that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to buy good quality used cars. Great selection, about 300 different cars, trucks, vans, Jeeps, sedans, all on the lot. You can side-by-side compare them, how it fits your body, how you like the knobs, how they drive. Seriously, drive several. Don't just drive one or two. Drive several different cars and compare them. For more than 25 years, Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community with cars that are a year to maybe 3 years old, low miles, great condition, and good prices with that Buffalo, right behind that big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. All right, a very quick future news here. Will the getting rid of cash bail in Illinois work or be a catastrophe?
I think it'll work, actually, after you...
I think it'll be mixed, honestly. I think the bad stories of people committing crimes out without bail will be in the news. And, you know, the poor people not being harmed is not going to make much news, so that's going to kind of be the invisible benefit of it. Are we going to be able to find a city manager for Milton before Randy retires next month?
Yes.
Nope.
Yes.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.